he makes this statement that you guys think you've gone through discrimination, but you have no idea what discrimination is if you were a pit bull.
Animal lovers, welcome back to Rescued by a Dog, the podcast about dogs that have actually saved their owners' lives. I'm Laura, host of the podcast, and once again, I'd like to ask for your help if you love this podcast as much as I do. Can you give $5 to help keep Rescued by a Dog going? There are two easy ways to do this. First, you could Venmo me $5 or whatever amount you want to send at the handle Laura Bama. That's L-A-U-R-A, B as in boy, A, M as in mother, A. Or you can go to patreon.com/rescuedbyadogpodcast. Again, that's Patreon, spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N, so patreon.com/rescuedbyadogpodcast. When you join the Rescue by Dog community on Patreon, your $5 a month will help me to continue sharing these beautiful, uplifting stories. Today, you're going to hear an unbelievable, epic story that you're never going to forget from my new friend, Andre. Hello, Andre.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. How are you?
All right.
A lot of mess.
Okay. Your hair looks good. Oh my gosh, that's funny. Let's get started. Andre, why don't you tell me the name of the dog that we're going to talk about today and what do they look like?
Well, I guess the dog that we're going to talk about today, which is, it's almost hard to talk about just her, but Chloe would be the dog that I would be talking about today. She's a dog that I've had for over 10 years. She is a white pit bull. She's the star character of actually my children's book, which is called Penelope's Bully. Chloe is my right-hand man. I mean, Chloe and I do almost everything together.
So you worked in the shelter industry before you even had dogs.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. When I grew up, I used to get in trouble a lot. And part of the reason I worked in shelters was because it was court order. I know it is. And I'm not shy about that, because if not for that, I would not be here. I would not have probably ever taken in Chloe or the many animals I help. So at 13, my mother moved me out of D.C. into Maryland. And there was a lot of drug dealers and all this stuff in our neighborhood, right? And I didn't have a lot of friends. I was a fat boy. People teased me. They bullied me. So I didn't have a lot of friends. But what I did have was money, because I would always hustle. And I would buy chicken wings from a Chinese place. And when I'd walk around the neighborhood, I'd be feeding these dogs chicken wings while I'm eating them. And what I didn't realize was most of these dogs I'm feeding were drug dealer dogs. They were dogs, drug dealers. And so there was a point where this one particular guy had these dogs in the woods, and I let them loose. I was in the woods, and he had them in these little ugly kennels, and I let them loose. And that's just like 20 dogs running around. Now, I don't understand the world. I just know there was 20 dogs out there, and I would always go out and feed them chicken wings. We found out about it. Of course, somebody in the neighborhood told him I did it, and he beat me. He beat me terribly. And he asked me, what was I trying to do stealing his dogs? And I said, I wasn't trying to steal your dogs. I was just playing with them. I didn't realize that they would be running all over the place. So yes, he made a deal with me. He said, I'll pay you $100 if you come feed these dogs. Okay, cool. All right. I'm making some money extra. Don't tell your mama. Okay, no problem. I won't do that. Well, that led me to knowing a lot of the dogs in the neighborhood. And I didn't know that this was some type of dog fighting ring. I'm a kid. I don't really know what goes on behind closed doors. But when I would hang around with this guy, some of his friends would say, you can't come in our backyard. And I say, yeah, I can. I can come in your backyard. No, my dogs can tear you up if you come in my backyard. And I'm like, well, no, because what he didn't know was, or his friends, I'm feeding all of these dogs in the neighborhood and they trust me. They're pit bulls, they're Rottweilers. Half of them I didn't even know the breed of. So I would make a couple hundred dollars from bets with these older dudes. They're like 18, 20 years old. And I would say, I tell you what, $200, I can walk in your backyard. No, you can't. Yes, I can. I can walk in your backyard. What do you don't know? And I would do it. And these guys would look at me like I was some kind of special dog whisperer or something. And what they didn't know was when they were out selling the drugs, I'm out there feeding the dogs. But it was a path that put me into these shelters. In the animal shelter, you have your typical animals that are sitting in the front. These are animals that have, you know, your basic average temperament. They're adoptable, so they're ready for, you know, for people to come visit them. Most animal shelters in the back, they keep the sensitive temperamental dogs, maybe the ones that have bit someone. In Virginia, they have this one bite rule. So after that, they have to be evaluated. Quarantine is where they would keep sensitive and temperamental dogs. We euthanize so many animals. And I made these correlations. You know, as a comic, you always kind of look at things differently. And I looked at these dogs as if they were in jail, but by no fault of their own. I understood why I was where I was. And I think most of us that have committed crimes or lived a certain lifestyle, you understand why you're there. But the dogs don't. And I think that was really my trick into having the patience to deal with a temperamental dog, because you have to take time, you have to take patience. And the same regimen that the psychiatrist would use with me was somewhat profound, because I use that same perspective with these dogs. I saw them like I saw myself. We don't have a guidebook to explain to them why they're there, why their family left them there. Maybe he bit you because he was protecting himself and he doesn't understand why he doesn't have a home anymore. So I always equated these dogs to me. And what happened then was I started having an appreciation for canines. I'll tell you this interesting story. My uncle was like a dog whisperer. He was like that Cesar Milanish type dude, but he was a country dude from down south. And he loved dogs. I mean, every missing dog in North Carolina would have been at his house. And literally, if you had a missing dog, it was at his house. When I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, he had a rack of puppies. And I picked a puppy up and I held it up in the air like the Roots movie. And I was a little kid and I tried to throw the puppy in the air. And the puppy fell. And it screamed, it yelled, and my uncle was pissed. Ever since that day, that stays with me. Ever since, you know, I always had this, I need to make up for that. That's one thing I think I did find sympathy for. Because of that puppy, I think it put something in my mind that I have to make up for that. Now, to this day, I still haven't got over that puppy. I'm 52 years old. But I have to say, once I started getting in trouble and the courts were kind of saying, what are you going to do for your community service? Always pick shelters.
Was there a dog that changed the course of your career? Was there a moment when you realized that this was worth getting your life together for?
God, that is such a great question. And I think that's why I said it was so hard for me to kind of like pinpoint one dog. There was a time that I quit the shelter. It was my last time getting in trouble. And I had the opportunity to work there full time. So it was no more volunteering. And there was this particular dog. And it was a really big Rottweiler that we actually brought into the shelter. And no one wanted to deal with it. So this Rottweiler had a prong collar. You know, the prong collars a lot of people use. Well, this Rottweiler had been neglected so long that this prong collar had grew into its neck. So no one wanted to deal with it. And it was almost to the point where they were ready to euthanize this dog because no one felt they could deal with him. He probably was 160 pounds. It was a really big Rottweiler. Had to be mixed with something. So every time that I would walk past his cage for 2 days, I would sit down at the cage. I would not use any words. It's something my Uncle Jerry taught me. God, I'm getting emotional on that. See, I shouldn't be emotional. The people listening should be. But my uncle had these lessons that I learned on how to deal with dogs. And one of them was, no words, be patient. It would take his time. So one day I'm sitting in front of this dog's locker and his kennel, and he actually moves up towards the cage. And I never engaged him. I engaged him, but with a presence, not necessarily an interaction. He finally leaned up to the cage long enough for me to get my hand through the cage and try to work one of the prong collars out. And there was scab and everything in it. There was a little bit of blood and raw tissue. And he let me take one off, but I was trying to be real careful. This was a really big dog, and in quarantine, you were working with the worst sometimes. Once I realized I got that one prong off, I opened the cage door just to see if he would allow me to come in. He allows me to come in. No growling, no like quick reactions. So I sat down and just sat there, just wanted to be a presence, but I wanted to be a positive presence. The dog comes and lays on my lap. And I was able to get this prong collar off his neck. Of course, I was so happy. I wasn't emotional as I am now. I was just so happy that maybe now that this is off of his neck and I see that the dog is workable, maybe they won't do anything, euthanize and what have you. No one still wanted to deal with this dog. How this... Like I told you before, I always see myself in these dogs and these shelters. A lot of times in my life, I felt like nobody wanted me either or wanted to take the time to understand me. And I was a weird kid anyway, so I get some of the people not want to deal with me. So I went home that night, and me and Penelope we had just moved together. I said, there's this one dog in this shelter out of all of the ones I work with. I said, I think I want to take him home. I think I really want to take in this dog. And I said, I want you to come see it. So I said, let's go visit the Rottweiler. So I take Penny, and regular civilians weren't supposed to go in the shelter. But I knew the back door, I knew the code, I knew how to get in. So I took Penelope in because I wanted her to at least buy into this. I take her to meet this dog, and I get in trouble. The head person there got mad at me for bringing someone in that didn't belong there. And I said, well, I wanted to bring her in because this is my girlfriend, and I was gonna ask you the next day if I could be the one to take this dog in, because I don't think too many people are going to even take a chance with him. And you and the staff don't want to deal with it. Well, she basically told me, get your girlfriend out of the back of quarantine. Come talk to me tomorrow. I go back the next day to euthanize this dog. That broke. I have to be honest. That's the day I quit. That's the day I gave up. That's the day that said, I can't deal with the emotions of watching these humans destroy these dogs. I gave up on dogs right at that moment. A couple of years later, Penelope lost her family. And in their home, they had this dog that hated my girl. This dog hated this particular dog named Peaches. Peaches was a half chow, half shepherd. No one really knew what Peaches was, but it was one of these dogs that their family loved. And I've always been real close with one of Penelope's nephews. Been close, I respect all of them, but there was one that Daniel was real special to me. And one day he comes over to my apartment, and he brings Peaches over. It had been 2 years since the house was lost. So this dog was pretty much living wild for 2 years in Alexandria, Virginia. And he came in that apartment. He's crying. I mean, and if you see this guy, he's a big, strong young man. And he walks in and he's crying. And he said, I saw peaches on the side of the road and I could not put her in my car. But he didn't have the means at that moment to take care of that dog. I have to admit, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you, you know, I was not in the mind frame of taking in another dog. I was not in the mind frame of even dealing with dogs at all. But I agreed to take in this dog. And then Peaches was wild. She at that point, she was somewhat wild. She didn't want to be confined in an apartment. She needed room. She needed space. She was hard to walk. And God, and she almost hated other dogs. It was just, it was going to be so much of a challenge. And at that point, I was really building this career in entertainment that I wanted to kind of just focus on. So long story short, there was a situation. And I think this might be the situation that put me on the right track. And there was a lot of them. I had not walked Peaches. I kind of let her go outside one day. I took her outside. She didn't do anything. I brought her in the house and I went to work. When I came back home, she had used the bathroom on my bed. The very next morning, I was just like, this is it. So I did what I always have a problem with. I took that Peaches back to the same shelter that I quit to surrender. On my ride, I had about a 45-minute ride from that shelter to my job. And I started thinking over all of the rules that I had learned working in quarantine. I started thinking about all the things my Uncle Jerry would tell me about how you handle a dog, how you raise a dog, how you body train a dog, how you understand a dog. And that ride to my job, I am regretting every minute of leaving this dog at that shelter, right? And as I'm in the parking lot of my job, I started thinking to myself, at this moment in my life, I'm trying to be stable. I'm trying to create boundaries with myself to make sure I continue to do the right thing. And I finally just kind of said, you know, just outlining what did I do wrong. And what I realized was I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I wasn't making the effort to do anything, to communicate, to bond, to make this dog feel comfortable. I wasn't using the patience that my Uncle Jerry taught me. And I started thinking to myself, I took that dog out, but I never allowed him to use the bathroom. I started regenerating the things I did wrong. I swear to God. And as I got into the job, I managed a crew of 6 people at this publishing company. And I'm talking to one of the older men there. And he said, well, what's wrong? And I said, I surrendered that dog I took in. He said, not you. I mean, you usually take care of everything you bring into that house. And I was like, I know. And I said, right now, I feel like the worst. He said, well, maybe you can call them and get the dog back. And I said, well, I know the business of working in a shelter. If you surrender a dog, most likely they don't give it back to you. I said, well, try. And the first thing he said, tell them that you used to work there. I said, okay. And there's an older guy. You know, older people always got better knowledge than we do. I called the shelter. And there was an older lady on the phone. I said, I surrendered the dog this morning. And I said, she said, well, Norm, and I said, I wanted to see if I can get it back. She said, well, normally we don't give surrenders. I'll never forget this story. And she said, we don't typically give surrenders back to people. And I said, well, can I tell you something? I said, the reason I surrendered that dog was my fault. And I said, I used to work at your facility and I used to work in quarantine. And she didn't remember me. I told her my name. And she said, so what happened that made you surrender the dog? And typically, most shelters won't even go that far. And I said, I got a crazy career. And I'm trying to be a comic. I run this publishing company. I'm trying to do all of this stuff at one time. And the dog used the bathroom on my bed. And it growls at me sometimes. There were some other things that, you know, she was doing to me in the house. But I said, you know what? I realized I made the biggest mistake. I didn't take time with that dog like I should have. And I really want to make up for that. I thought about that puppy that I hurt. I thought about that Rottweiler. And I was saying to myself, as I'm talking to this lady, I was so irresponsible. I want to be responsible. I want to take the time that I was supposed to with this dog. And that old lady put me on hold. I'll never forget her putting me on hold. She just literally put me on hold. And I'm thinking, oh, damn. Penelope's going to be mad, probably. I'm not getting this dog back. I put this dog in because of my own damn selfishness. But I put all this responsibility on myself to manage my career. Why didn't I try to do the same thing with this dog? I can manage multiple things. I'm thinking all of this while she got me on hold. Like, what kind of person am I? I was pissed at myself doing this, being on hold. And she came back on the phone and she said, if you can get here in the next hour, I'll give you Peaches back. And I'm the guy that I'm talking about, the old man still works with me. His name is Steve Pence. And I said, Steve, I got to go get this dog. He said, go on and get it. Go on and get it. Go and get your dog. Go get that dog. And I'll never forget it. But that changed me because when I picked Peaches up that day, I won't say I fully felt like I made amends for that puppy or that Rottweiler. But it made me feel like I was on the path of trying to be responsible, not just with these dogs, but with my life. Because what happened was, at that point, I started looking into the things that I had learned that I took for granted. With Peaches, I made sure her walks were extended. She had 3 walks a day. I'd walk her in the morning. When I got home, I walked in the evening, and Penelope would walk her. I realized Peaches needed space. I ended up moving out into Loudoun County and buying this house that had I don't have acres of land and, a townhouse with one of the biggest yards you can have, like an in-unit home.
Did you end up growing close to her personally?
Yes, very close.
What was your relationship like with her?
Oh, God. Originally, like I told you, she couldn't stand me. I mean, I will tell you, I'm one of the late owls, as you can imagine. Penelope would go to bed. If I walked into the bedroom, Peaches would growl at me. You're not coming in here. So we had a really, oil and water type relationship as a dog and a human. I'll tell you this thing. It's hard to say what our relationship, our walks was great. I tell people a lot of time, your conversation with a dog is when you're training them with the obedience commands and when you're walking with them. That's your conversation. The one thing that told me she trusted me was now we walk past other dogs, she doesn't even pay attention. She was not one of these affectionate dogs, right? But every blue moon, you would get like one lick. I think I had Peaches for maybe 7 years. And I might have gotten 3 licks, but they all happened in that house. And when you got those licks, you felt special. Penelope had another nephew. And that nephew had a pit bull, which is in my book. And he had a pit bull named Cinnamon. And Cinnamon had a litter of puppies. Penelope asked me one day, hey, I want to go see my nephew. He has these puppies. And I'm thinking, okay, what's getting ready to happen now? And at this point, Peaches is old. Peaches is actually going through a bunch of different ailments. She probably didn't have that much time to go, much time to live. So she said, hey, let's go see these puppies. I'm thinking, okay, we're not bringing any dogs home, right? I'm thinking that. And we get there, and I'm in this room full of puppies. There was this one sleeping puppy, and Penelope is literally trying to convince me to take this little puppy home. And I agreed to what I think everyone hears, but it's never the truth. I'm going to just test it out. Yeah, that, you know what happened. So we ended up taking this sleeping, beautiful white puppy. I mean, I will say that. And so I take this beautiful white puppy home. And the very night we take her home, she's coughing like a grown person. And we had to take her to the vet. And I'm like, we're already spending money on this puppy. The end of the week, the day we're supposed to take her back, I'm like, well, we got to take her back. And Penelope's like, well, no, let's keep her. And I'm like, we don't need another dog. And I swear to God, I can still remember Penelope sitting on one end of the couch starting to cry. And Chloe, and imagine this is my first, you know, interaction with this dog 1 week. It almost looked like she's looking one way crying and Penelope's looking the other way crying. And I'm sitting there looking like, okay, maybe I'm the idiot. Okay. Okay, we'll keep her. Bringing in Chloe brought out all of these emotions that I had in me about dogs that I was trying to really put away. And there was another perspective of Chloe that was so interesting, because when I moved into this neighborhood, I had neighbors that didn't really like me. And specifically, there was this one neighbor who had, I'm really into grilling and smoking meats and things of that nature. And there was a neighbor that had like a Confederate flag, and my girlfriend kind of knew about, you know, the perspective of that kind of stuff. And I don't think I took it as seriously, being a city boy, being a city dude from, you know, D.C. Nothing really scared me. I wasn't intimidated by anything. But this guy had a grill. He had this real custom, nice grill. And I always wanted to know where he got it from. But this guy would never speak to me. I mean, anytime I'd see him in his backyard, I'm like, you know, hey, man, how you doing? Trying to drum up a conversation to find out how he would get this grill. This guy would ignore me to holy hell. And I mean, but once I understood why, I got it. And long story short, when I brought Chloe into the picture, as I'm walking Chloe, and you got to imagine for maybe a year or so, I'm walking Peaches. These people see me. They know who I am. But I literally walked Chloe past this guy's house one day, right around his backyard. And he literally yells over the backyard, first time talking to me, is that a pit bull? And I'm like, yeah, it's just a puppy. Now, I'm happy because I want to know about the grill. I still want to know what kind of grill is this dude got in his backyard. And long story short, he says, can I come out and pet the pit bull? And I'm, yeah, come pet her. Because, you know, as a guy that works with dogs, I want my dog to socialize with everyone, especially my pit bull. So he comes out from behind the fence and she runs to him. I mean, Chloe was such a little friendly little puppy. And she runs over to him and he makes this statement. He makes this statement that you guys think you've gone through discrimination, but you have no idea what discrimination is if you were a pit bull. And as a comic in my head, I'm thinking, damn, that's profound. Now, as an African-American, I wanted to do some other things. But instead of getting mad, and I've learned to control my anger, I soaked it in. I took in the moment as this is a great perspective, even though I may not agree with it. And then on the other hand, this guy finally took the chance to speak to me, and it took a pit bull to do that. My children's book surrounds that entire premise of what I just told you. And if not for Chloe, I would not be standing in front of you now as a best-selling author.
Did you ever have any sort of cordial relationship with that neighbor afterward?
It was cordial. You're right. It wasn't, it never grew. But almost every time that he was in his backyard and I walked Chloe, he would come out and I would let him play with her. And we would have conversations, neighborly conversations.
Did you find out where he got the grill?
No, I didn't. Never found out where the grill came from. It never got to that point. I swear to God. It gave me a perspective, though. It gave me hope. It gave me a hope that there's some things that the perception of this dog can build no different than the perception of me being an African-American that's urban. I'll tell you, when I decided to take Chloe in and she started getting older, I said I wanted to do this not just the right way, the best way. And I said, I want to take her through these obedience classes with a professional. No matter what experience I got, I want the best to work with me, work with her. And I want to get her these AKC, CGC titles. I want my dog to have some accolades. So we took her through puppy kindergarten. She did great. Took her through basic obedience. There was these competitions the trainer would have, and there was the stay competition. I think Chloe stayed for like 3 minutes and beat everybody. She went through intermediate training. She went through advanced training. And all of that work was intriguing to me. And the day that we took this next level test was the AKC, Canine Good Citizenship title. And I didn't realize, oh, God, there's a title. She gets a title, like, you know, a certificate and all that. And the day she passed that test, I'm going to tell you, I felt like I don't have children. But the day that she passed that test, I felt so, I don't want to cuss, but I felt so proud. I mean, I can't tell you how proud I felt of all of that work we went through. Even though it's fun, I mean, to me, dog training is fun, whether you're taking the class or you're teaching it. I didn't even understand these emotions. It was beyond respect. It was beyond love. It was an emotion that I think only parents probably understand, because I see people being so emotional over, you know, the kids doing something really great. I felt so proud. It's almost like she won the world award. But I was also kind of proud of myself, you know? It's like you finally took responsibility. Working with dogs to me is something that's totally different. I can't even explain it, but it gives me this feeling of joy. And I'm not a dude that finds joy a lot. I mean, people see the comedy and jokes and think, you know, maybe that's how you always are, but it's not. I'm not. Right now, I am taking over a dog training facility that a trainer I knew retired with this year. And so 10 years ago, this trainer, you know, she was the one that actually trained Chloe, helped me train Chloe in obedience and advanced obedience. She got her titles. And if you fast forward to 10 years now, I'm actually her now. Chloe and I are like best friends. I think all of those dogs led me to being a better owner for Chloe. As soon as I walk into the house, no matter what it is, as soon as I walk into the house, she's sitting in a certain position waiting for me to sit down to lick attack me. So you've heard of the pit bull lick attacks. That's exactly what I get. And she's not moving until I sit down somewhere so she can get this whole 10 minutes of put her paws on my shoulder, pin me to the chair, and lick me to holy hell. You know, and I used to be a dude that didn't really, you know, like a whole lot of that, but it's kind of like I got to show the same affection she's willing to show me. Now, I ain't licking you. I ain't licking you. Outside of, you know, I think people ask me all the time, oh, you're such a dog lover. And I said, no, I'm not a dog lover. I just respect the canine. And I always kind of, I say that because I want to put that burden on me to be responsible, not because of my feelings, but because that's what you're supposed to do. And I'm an animal person. I work with animals. And so I want my respect to mean way more than love. Okay. So first off, I've always said, I'm not a dog lover. I just respect the canine. Right?
I don't believe you for one second. You love
it. Look, and everybody debates that with me. Yeah, whatever, Andre. That's why you took in all them damn dogs. I know. Yeah.
And you said she goes everywhere with me. We do everything together. You love her.
Yeah. I will admit that I might have some love sneaking inside of there.
If that Rottweiler were here in front of us and understood human English, what would you like to say to that Rottweiler?
You're trying to make me cry again. But what I would say, thank you for teaching me what it takes to gain trust. And I'm so sorry. I wish I could have changed your life. But I hope I gave you one moment of solace.
I know that you did. The Rottweiler knew kindness from you. And I think that that is incredibly important for that animal. Okay, so moving to one that's a little less difficult. What would you like to say to Peaches if she understood human English?
Peaches, I think you knew how much I was reluctant, but I think you also knew how much I respected our relationship. I'm so sorry also to you. I wish there were some of the ailments in you had. I wish there were some things that I could have fixed. But just know that the reason I'm even continuing this legacy with these dogs has a lot to do with you.
Okay, hopefully this won't be quite as sad. I want to know what you would say to Chloe if she understood human English.
My baby girl, you've given me more than I could have ever given you. If not for you, I would not be sitting here as an author talking to kids and giving advice on bullying dogs. And I love you, baby. And I don't think I'll love another dog as much. Trick me and make saying I love somebody.